Now we go into the second session of today's evening, which would be called the rebuttal and response session. In this, our learned speakers present today would give a clarification on the comments made by the other two speakers, as well as they would give comments and remarks on all the three religions, Hinduism, Christianity, and Islam, taken together for proper understanding on each religion from their respective point of view and perspective. May I call upon the respected Swami Golokananda, who is from the Sri Ramakrishna Math, to deliver his response. Swami Golokananda.
Friends, the first session was for us to speak about the concept of God from our own standpoint, that is to say, from the standpoint of Hinduism, of Christianity and Islam. Ideas must have been very clear to you that as far as the concept of God is concerned, the basic concept, the basic ideas, the basic conception about the God, about the Supreme Reality is concerned, there is absolutely no difference between the interpretations given by these three religions. Now, that is the truth, that is a fact. But there are differences in the details. But we are not here to go to the details of the differences. That will spoil the purpose of this grand meeting. On the contrary, on the other hand, I would like to emphasize the common point. So we believe in God, all of us, Hindus, Islam, Muslims, Christianity, everyone, the Supreme God. We accept Him as the Supreme, Reality, as the Supreme God. As I said earlier, the source, the sustenance, and the sanctuary of this universe. So as far as that is concerned, every one of us believes, and therefore, in the name of God, in the name of truth, in the name of Almighty, in the name of the All-Compassionate, in the name of the All-Merciful, Lord, all the 500 crores of humanity must unite. We must all unite in the name of the Most Supreme Lord, the All-Powerful, the All-Compassionate Lord. We must be one. Nothing to divide us, because we all believe in Him, in the Supreme Being. There we all agree. There is no difference in the vibrations in the human heart as far as accepting the most essential part of the religion is concerned. We accept the God as the Almighty, the All-Merciful, Supreme. And in His name, we are one. All the 600 crores of human beings, we are one. There is no difference. There is no difference, and we are here not to highlight the differences. We are here to find the common points, the vibrations, the similar vibrations. When we pray, when the mind goes right or high above it, you know, the common problems. When we pray, we commune with the Lord. All of us commune with the same Lord. There is no difference. And it is there that we are brothers. There, at that level, we are brothers. There is nothing to divide us. So we are one in the name of Almighty. The second point I would highlight is that we have to recognize the fact that there are various religions in this world. Different religions in this world. There have been different religions in this on the face of this earth for thousands and thousands of years. For thousands and thousands of years there have been religions, different religions, various religions, and this is the time we should accept the fact that there are different religions. And we should accept there are different religions. There are 10 or 11 major religions in this world. Nobody can deny that. Nobody can wipe out that reality. We have to accept that fact, that truth, in order to build the communal harmony, in order to build the harmony in the of the hearts of the people. We have to understand that there are different religions. More, we have to respect every religion. The civilized nations that we are, the newer civilized people, we are proceeding to more civilized levels of intellectual understanding. Therefore, it is the duty of every one of us in this world to understand, to recognize the difference, and to respect the difference. Because you are from a different region. Yes, my heart talks. We have to now go out, amalgamate, be one with them. Go with them. Like brother, in Kerala, this is for the information of Dr. Nayak. In Kerala, we don't have this kind of bitter feelings among the religionists. In the villages, children from the Muslim family, Christian family, and Hindu family, they live together, they study together, they grow together. All these differences are put on the head of the people here. Therefore, that is the kind of fraternal feeling that we must have, that we have in Kerala already. The rest of India must take it from us. Recognize the fact that there are different religions. Recognize the fact that all the religions are valid path towards the Supreme. As I told you, when I sit for prayer, when you sit for prayer, when we close our eyes, when we think about the Almighty, we think about the same Almighty, and therefore, at that level, we are one. So respect the other religions, every religion. Give them God's seed. We are all working in the vineyard of the Lord. And therefore, that feeling of love, affinity, go amalgamate with everyone. Yes, go ahead, God speaks for you. You have your own way, I have my own way. I like to take food in my way, you take it in the way you like. But we must take food, we must have prayer, we must rise ourselves to the consciousness of the Supreme Reality. And therefore, that is another point which can unite us. That is where we have to try. Then there is a concept of Ishta Devata in Hinduism. Ishta Devata means chosen ideal. There's a concept of chosen ideal. Give the freedom to everyone to follow his path. Let us not put the weight on him to say that what he is doing is bad. No. Allow him freedom. The freedom of the heart must be there to worship the Lord in his own way. We must have that kind of magnanimity to allow that freedom to everyone, that is liberality, that freedom. We shall not curb it. If we curb it, we shall be going against the grace of the Almighty Lord. His call to us is to love everyone as brothers, as sisters, everyone. Nobody is new, nobody is alive, nobody is a stranger. No one is a stranger. All belong to one group. We are children of God. At that level we are one. So we have to find out areas like this, essential areas like this, where we sit together with love, promoting progress, peace, prosperity to everyone, praying for everyone. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. That is what you want. That is what you wish from your heart. Everyone must be happy. Sarve santu niramayaha. That no one have any suffering, pain. That is what every human heart prays, whether belonging to Christianity or Islam or Hindu. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayaha. Sarve bhadrani pasyantu. Ma kachida dukkha parthave. Let there be suffering for anyone. Is not that the prayer that comes up from your heart, from our heart? Is it not? Can we differentiate? Only let there be peace and well-being for only one section? No. In the moment you say that, you are going against the will of the All Merciful. We have to go in tune with the will of the Almighty. Pray everybody. We must pray for everybody. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayaha. Sarve bhadrani pasyantu. Ma kachida dukha bhavet. At that level we have to come. All the religions lead us to that level. So let us promote what is essential, ideal, and also point where every one of us agree. We have to build. We have to make those points strong so that all these 500 or 600 crores of humanity remains one, breathe in the same way in the name of the Almighty. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Swami Golokananda, for your talk. May I call upon respected Father Gio Payapalli to present his response. Father Gio Payapalli.
We are living in this century where the threshold of the third millennium, and maybe we look around with the major world religions, 11 or 12. And when we study the origin of religions, we know that it has been conditioned by socio-cultural background. Religion is a total other person's awareness. Awareness of the absolute, awareness of the transcendent, which every human being has. Therein a power, absolute power, beyond this earthly, terrestrial, mundane reality. So we have the primal religions, the tribal religions, which already emerged thousands and thousands of years back. And later on, religions were evolved in different countries, in different continents. So we have in India four religions: the Hinduism, the Jainism, the Buddhism, or Sikhism. We have in the Near East, Far East, the so-called revealed religions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And later on, we have other religions in Japan, in China, and so all these religions are emerged. So they have their own conceptual framework on God, God's attributes, and it is expressed in languages. Languages in its own way. Tribal religions express the concept of God in their language. The Semitic religions convey the concept of God in the Semitic languages: the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Arabic. So there are three or four different languages. So when we explain, when we consider the concept of God, we should understand the background, the social cultural background, the language aspect. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are revealed religions. For example, in Bible, there are different names of God. in Hebrew, there is Yahweh. There is then, it's already akin to Arabic, Allah. Elohim, Al-Shaddai, Adonai. So we have got to find out the root meanings. When we come to other countries, they have their own words of God. God. Or in Malayalam is Devam. It's a Sanskrit root. Div. So people have their own concepts of God based on the language. So when you say the concept of God, first of all, you must understand the background of the people. And in Christianity, this is a real religion. And it is explained in the Bible. So we have a God, different names. That God is almighty. That God is creator. That God is sustainer. So there is one God who created the mankind. So when we think of God, we first of all encounter in the spiritual dimension, the divine, the beyond, the transcendence. So the communication and communion between the divine and human is most important. And it is revealed gradually in the Old Testament. The concept of God is different from the New Testament concept. God reveals it to people gradually. So in the Old Testament, the concept of God, Almighty God, very figure of God, God always some punishing God sometimes. God will save the people, liberate from the people. So we have a concept which is being refined or revealed in different progressive stages. And when you come to the New Testament, your concept of God who comes down, who identifies with mankind, the God sends Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel. So their concept of God differs. So God follows to the Creator. And the Christians believe in the one God, who is God for us, the Creator. And God becomes a man to identify with the person, with the humanity. And he took the form of, and he is the perfect God, and perfect human. So this is totally united and totally integrated. And the same God now sanctifies people. So the Creator, so there is God for us, the Creator, so God with us, then God in us, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will be called. The one God in triune form. So this is the concept of Christianity. So basically, Christianity accepts the one God, the Almighty, the Transcendent, who intervenes in the history of mankind. So there is a mutual transaction. God intervenes in the history. So to save mankind, to redeem mankind. He is always with us. He is a sustainer. He gives us food. He gives us his graces, his blessings, his goodness. So God of Bible, God of Christianity, is one God, Almighty God, who in revealing himself has become a God for us as creator. And God with us as Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. And God in us indwelling, purifying, sanctifying, as with values Jesus Christ proclaimed. He becomes a God in us, the Holy Spirit. So ultimately, the same God is revealed in different stages. So that God is almighty, eternal. That God is transcendent, beyond this human, mundane, earthly reality. So all the religions, in essence, accept God as the one, unique, and absolute and transcendent. So as we are in the inter-religious dialogue, we accept, we respect different religions. We are living in this truly religious world, the truly cultural world, accepting these religions. We share the teachings of other religions, we respect the religions of other people, and this is also in the context of the socially, the culturally background conditioned, so we continue dialoguing ourselves to know better, to know the values, especially the God. I already explained in the beginning, because there will be controversy when we speak about creed, when we discuss about cult, but when we discuss about God, how we can live the eternal, perennial values which will give humankind authentic life, a happy life, a joyful life. So we should concentrate more on God's intervention in this world to unite humanity. And we accept the teachings of different holy scriptures that God, the man, is unique being. He is to be respected. He has dignity and he has equality of man and woman. He has a fundamental right which he should accept. And we should have also integrity of the creation, not only human beings. There is a total integrity of the creation. So we concentrate more on the God of his religion and sharing these eternal, perennial values. We reach the ultimate reality, God, who will give us his eternal bliss for each one of us. So I think we will concentrate much more than the creedal or the dogmatic dimensions of religion, rather than the ethical, the spiritual, moral values which will bind us together, which will help us to have a harmonious life, which will help us to be tolerant with all the believers of different religions. Thank you.
Thank you, Father Gio Payapalli, for your response. Now we have the last speaker for the day, Dr. Zakir Naik, presenting his rebuttal and response to the earlier speaker. Dr. Zakir Naik.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kul ya ahl al-kitab, ta'alu ila kalmatin sawa'in baynana baynakum. Alla na'budu illa Allah. ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا اربابا من دون الله فان تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا باننا مسلمون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقه قولي Chairperson Dr. Muhammad, respected Swamiji, respected Father Gio, learned speaker on the dais, my respected elders, and my dear brothers and sisters, I welcome you once again in the greetings which was used by Jesus, peace be upon him, which mentioned the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse number 36. In Hebrew, he said, Shalom Aleikum, which means peace be on you. And in Arabic, the Muslims say, Assalamu Alaikum, may peace be on you. There were certain comments made by Swamiji and Father Gio. And I do agree with Swamiji when he said that all religions believe in the same one God. I do agree with him in total. I agree with him. But I, besides agreeing, I prove it practically from the scriptures of the various religions that all religions actually believe in one God. People speak theoretically, but I am a man who believes more in action. Not only in speaking, and practically showing, which I will show it in due course of my rebuttal. Swamiji also said that there are differences which we should recognize, and I do agree with him. I do recognize there are also differences in various religions. And he said that people in Kerala, they live with these differences, and I'm happy to know about that. We too in the city of Bombay live with these differences, but what we in Bombay, which is a cosmopolitan city, say that there are differences, but it's not necessary we have to agree with the differences. We have to recognize the differences. We don't have to fight over the differences, but we don't have to agree with it. For example, suppose one person says 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. The other person says 2 plus 2 is equal to 5. What we in Bombay do, we don't fight over it, but we tell the person, see, 2 plus 2 is equal to 5, what you are saying, I don't agree with it. I'm not a hypocrite. What I say is 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. I explain to him so that he will learn math. See, brother, 2 plus 2 is not equal to 5. If you agree with this wrong philosophy, you may go lost in business. You may fail in the mathematics. I don't agree with you, but still I will not fight with you. I will live with you in harmony, but I will correct you. Because the Quran says in Surah Isra chapter 17 verse number 18, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَاقِ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوكَ. That the truth is heard against falsehood. Falsehood perishes. For its nature, falsehood is bound to perish. I do agree with Swamiji. All religions believe in one God, which I prove in the course of my talk. There are differences. But we don't have to agree with the differences. We can recognize it. We can live harmoniously, but it's our duty to correct a person who is in the wrong. Swamiji further said that every person should be given the freedom to choose his way of life, and I agree with him totally. What he's quoting is a verse of the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse number 256. He says, La ikraha fi ad-deen. There is no compulsion in religion. But that's not the only complete verse. The verse further continues and says, the truth stands out clear from error. When I tell to the other people that there is no compulsion in religion, forcing anyone to convert at the point of the sword, at the point of the gun, it is useless. That's no religion. But truth stands out clear from error. I have to present the truth to him. If he doesn't follow, then the Quran says in Surah Kafirun, chapter 109, it says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ الدِّينِ. But say to those who reject faith, I will not worship what you worship, nor will you worship what I worship. I will not be worshipping that which you want me to worship, nor will you worship that what I want you to worship. To use your way, to make mine. You can tell him, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ الدِّينِ. To use your way to meet mine, but we have to present the truth. The question of rejecting the truth only arises after I present the truth to the people. So it's my job as a truthful person to present the truth. I cannot force anyone. So we believe there are differences. We believe everyone has a right to choose his way of life. And the father rightly said that religion is a personal thing, he said, personal belief. And I agree with him. And there are people who say, other people, that see, faith is a personal thing. You should mind your own business. I tell them, it's the business of every Muslim to mind other people's business where faith is concerned. It's the duty of every Muslim to mind other people's business where faith is concerned. But we have to project the truth. For example, I always relate the incident. That suppose you go with your family on a hill station, and while you're speaking with your wife, a small child, your young child of hardly 3 years, he slips away from you while you're talking, and he goes towards the edge of cliff. By the time you realize that he has reached far away, he's so far that he cannot hear your voice, you can hardly see him. There you see that there's an elderly gentleman with his hands folded, standing at the edge of the cliff. He's admiring beauty. He's admiring the beauty. Your child comes very close to him. The elderly man sees that your child is going to fall over the cliff. He observes him, but he keeps quiet. After a few seconds, your child jumps over the cliff. I'm asking the question. You as a parent of that child, will you not bring elderly gentleman telling him that he very well knew that the child is masoom, he's innocent. The child does not know that if he steps forward, he will die. What the elderly gentleman had to do was just to stretch his hand. He did not even have to take a step forward. If he had stretched his hand and caught my son, he would have been saved. Won't you blame the elderly man? Of course you will. But logically speaking, he didn't push your child. He didn't ask your child to jump. He was saying, I want to mind my own business. In Islam, if somebody is doing a wrong thing, it's the duty of every Muslim to guide to the truth. That's what Jesus Christ is day upon himself. Seek the truth and truth says to you. He always said. That's what the scriptures quote. Now let's analyze the concept of God Almighty in the various religions to get a communal harmony, as Swamiji said. I start my talk by quoting a verse from the Holy Quran, from Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse number 64, which says, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, say people of the book, تَعَلَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلْمِةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا بَيْنَكُمْ, that come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا, that we associate the partners with him. وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضٌ بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, that we erect not among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا, then they turn back. فَقُولُوا شَدُوا, say we bear witness, بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, that we are Muslims bowing our will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse of the Holy Quran is a master key how to speak with the non-Muslim. It says, تَعَلَوْا إِلَى كَلْمِةٍ سَوَائِنْ بَيْنَنَا وَيْنَكُمْ, let come to come in terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'budu illa Allah, that we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ, that we associate the partners with him. As Father rightly said, that there are a lot of commonalities between Judaism, Islam and Christianity, including the concept of God Almighty, is the same. If you read the Old Testament, when Moses, peace be upon him, when he was asked, that, which is the first of the commandments, Moses, peace be upon him, said, it's mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4, Shema Israelo, Adnai Nahenu Adnai Had. Father may be knowing, it's a Hebrew quotation. That means, Yoro Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. It's mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5, verse number 7 and 8. Thou shalt have no other God besides me. Thou shalt make no graven image of thee, of the likeness in the heavens above, in the earth beneath, and in the water beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for thy God is a jealous God. The same message is repeated in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verse number 2 to 5. Thou shalt have no other God besides me. Thou shalt make no graven image of me, of the likeness in the heavens above, in the earth beneath, and in the water beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. This is the concept of God Almighty in Judaism, if you read the Old Testament. That means, idol should not be made. Idol worship is wrong. Who says that? The Old Testament. Now coming to the concept of God Almighty Christianity, I would like to make a few points clear to my Christian and Muslim brothers, that Islam is the only non-Christian faith which makes it an article of faith to believe in Jesus, peace be upon him. No Muslim is a Muslim if he does not believe in Jesus, peace be upon him. We believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that he was born miraculously without any man intervention, which many modern day Christians today do not believe. We believe that he gave life to the dead with God's permission. We believe that he healed those born blind and lepers with God's permission. We are going together. But there are parting of ways. There are many Christians, like Father said, and even Father believes in that too, that Jesus Christ is there upon him. He claimed divinity. He said that he was God Almighty. I am a student of the Bible, of the Vedas, of the Quran. There is no unequivocal statement in the whole Bible where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, himself says that he is God or worship me. There is no statement. I would like to repeat it. There is no unequivocal statement in the whole Bible where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, himself says he is God or worship me. Since I am a student of the Bible, what I am saying that if Father today, it is not a debate, I know that, if Father can show me any verse, you know the Bible, if Father can show me any verse in the Bible where Jesus Christ himself says, unequivocally, that he is God or worship me, I am ready to accept Christianity today. I am not speaking on behalf of the other Muslims. Since I am a student of the Bible, I am saying that. I know it is for communal harmony. As Swamiji said, rightly said, that we all believe in one God. How will we believe in one God unless we don't analyze the Holy Scriptures? There are certain statements in the Bible which Christians misinterpret it to be that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, claimed divinity. If Father can show me any verse, I am ready to accept Christianity today. Father said that the concept of God Almighty in Old Testament and New Testament is different. I feel Father doesn't agree with the statement of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, who said in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 17 to 20, he said, think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have come not to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, that think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have come not to destroy, but to fulfill. abundance the heaven and the earth pass away, not one jot or a tittle shall pass away from the law until all be fulfilled. And whosoever shall break one of the least commandments and teach men to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Is any person who says that the previous law, Old Testament, is wrong and teaches men to do so according to Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 to 20 says, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever keeps the law and teaches men to do so will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, in no way shall you enter the kingdom of heaven. Who said that? Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. We believe he was the mightiest messenger of God. And then you are asked that which is the first of the commandments? He repeated verbatim what Moses, peace be upon him, has said earlier. It's mentioned in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 12, verse number 29. He said, Shama Israelo adna ilahayna adna ikhat. Which means, Yoro Israel, the Lord, our God, is one God. Kul huallahu ahad. Say that Allah one and only. You have to believe in the Old Testament. You have to. Otherwise, according to Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, you shall not enter heaven. You cannot break a single law. Old Testament says, you cannot make any image of God Almighty. Anyone who makes the image of God Almighty, he is not following the Bible. Same thing is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Quran says in Jeremiah chapter 5 verse number 72. It says, لَقَدْ كَفْرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَلَتْ مَرْيُمَا. They are doing kufr, those who say that Jesus Christ, son of Mary, peace be upon him, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحِ. But said Christ, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, O children of Israel, أَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ, worship Allah, رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ, who is my Lord and your Lord. إِنَّهُمْ مِشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ. Anyone who associates partners with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make Jannah haram for it. وَمَا بَهُ النَّارِ وَمَا مِنْ ظَالِمٍ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ. And fire shall be his dwelling place, and he shall have no helpers in the hereafter. Jesus Christ, peace be upon himself, says that anyone who associates partners with God Almighty, فَقَدْ حَرَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make Jannah haram for him. وَمَا بَهُ النَّارِ وَمَا مِنْ ظَالِمٍ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, he never claimed divinity. He never came. Father said that they believe in the concept of Trinity, and I do agree with the church and the catechism. They say that they believe in Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That Father is a person, Son is a person, Holy Spirit is a person. But they aren't three persons, they are one person. And it's difficult to explain this concept of Trinity. But if you read the full Bible, there is no word called Trinity in the whole Bible. There's no word. But the word Trinity is there in the Holy Quran. It's not there in the Bible, but there in the Holy Quran. The Quran says in Surah Nisa chapter 4 verse number 171, it says, وَلَا تَكُولُوا سَلَاسَ. Don't say Trinity. إِنْ تَوْخَيْرُ لَكُمْ. This has stopped it better for you. For your Lord and our Lord is one Lord. It's the duty of every Muslim to clarify the concept. I know I have not come here for a debate. But if someone speaks something wrong against my mighty messenger, Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, I will correct him. I will correct him. Because the Quran says, he never claimed divinity. Even if you read the Bible, nowhere did Jesus Christ claim him. In fact, he said, it's mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14, verse number 28, my Father is greater than I. Gospel of John, chapter number 10, verse number 29, my Father is greater than all. Gospel of John, chapter number 5, verse number 30, I can of my own self do nothing. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 11, verse number 20, I cast out devils by the finger of God. He never claimed divinity. He never claimed divinity. He said, I am verily the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's my duty to correct. I'm not forcing you to accept. I'm not forcing any Christian to accept it. I'm trying to educate him, since I'm a student of the Bible as well as the Quran. I'm trying to educate him the truth. Then, la ikraha fid deen. There is no compulsion in religion. Truth stands out clear from error. If you analyze the concept of God Almighty in Hinduism, as Swamiji rightly said, they actually believe that God Almighty has got no form. They believe in one God. But if you ask a common Hindu who's not as learned as Swamiji, he will tell you that some Hindus may say they believe in three gods, some may say 10, some may say 100, while the others may say 33 crores, 330 million. But if you ask a learned man like Swamiji, he will rightly tell you that Hindus should actually believe in one God. But the common Hindus, as Swamiji will agree with me, they believe in a philosophy known as pantheism. That is, everything is God. The tree is God, the sun is God, the moon is God, the snake is God, the human being is God. What the Muslims believe is everything is God, G-O-D with apostrophe. Everything belongs to God. The tree belongs to God, the sun belongs to God, the moon belongs to God, the snake belongs to God, the human being belongs to God. So the major difference between the Hindus and the Muslims is the apostrophe. The common Hindu says everything is God, the Muslim says everything is God. If we can solve this difference of apostrophe, we will practically live harmoniously. How do we solve this difference? Quran says, Ta'ala wila kalmitin sawa'in, bainana bainakum. Come to common terms as between us and you. How do we come to common terms? Come to commonalities. I know there are differences. I'm not speaking about the differences between the Vedas and the Quran and the other religions. I'm speaking about the commonalities. The Bible says, don't do idol worship. Quran says, don't do idol worship. Bhagavad Gita says the same. So read Bhagavad Gita chapter number 7, verse number 19 to 24, and Swamiji can correct me if I'm wrong. It says that anyone who does idol worship, he is a materialistic person. That means the idol worshippers, they are materialistic people. And Swamiji rightly says, the most superior of all the scriptures of the Hindus are the Vedas. And he rightly says, there are four Vedas. The Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Sam Veda, and the Atharva Veda. The Rig Veda deals with songs of praises. The Yajur Veda deals with sacrificial formulas. The Sam Veda deals with melody. And the Atharva Veda deals with magical formulas. I do agree with Swamiji that the most holy scriptures of the Hindus are the Vedas. How do you come to common terms? Swamiji rightly said that God Almighty has got no form. But how will you convince a Hindu? He may think that maybe Swamiji is not quoting correct or Zakir is pulling a fast one. What they have to do is Tala vila kalmitin sawa'in bainana bainakum. Come to common terms as in us and you. If you read the Yajur Veda, chapter number 32, verse number 3, chapter 32, verse number 3 says, Na tatya patima asti. It's a Sanskrit quotation. Na tatya patima asti. Of that God, no image can be made. That's what Swamiji said. God is formless. Same Yajur Veda, chapter number 40, verse number 8 says, God is imageless and formless. God has got no body, he has got no form. Same Yajur Veda, chapter number 40, verse number 9 says, all those who worship the Asambhuti. The Asambhuti are the natural things like air, water, fire. All those who worship the natural things, Asambhuti, they are in darkness. And the verse continues. And Dhatma Kavishanti, Yasambhuti Mupaste. They are entering more in darkness, those who worship the Sambhuti, that is the created things like table, chair, idol, etc. Who says that? Yajur Veda, chapter number 40, verse number 9. The Holy Scripture also says, Ekam Braham Dushya Naste, Niya Naste Naste Kinchan. There is Bhagwan Eki hai, Dusra Nahi hai, Nahi hai, Nahi hai, Zara bhi Nahi hai. There is only one God, not a second one, not at all, not at all, not in the least bit. And amongst the Vedas, Swamiji will agree with me, Rig Veda happens to be the most sacred. It's the most oldest and the most sacred. If you read Rig Veda, book number 2, chapter number 1, verses 3 to 11, it gives 33 different attributes to Almighty God. Quran gives no less than 99 different attributes. Veda gives 33 attributes. We have got no objection, as I said in my earlier talk, Qulidullah Abdul Rahman, Ayyat Ma'tadu, Falawul Asmaul Hasna. They call upon him by Allah or by Rahman. By whichever name you call upon him, to him belongs the most beautiful name. You can call him by any name, but it should not conjure up a mental picture. Suppose the Hindus say that God Almighty is Brahma. What's the meaning of Brahma? Brahma means the creator, if you translate into English. If you translate into Arabic, it means Khalik. We Muslims have got no objection in calling Almighty God as Khalik or creator of Brahma. But if the Hindu says that God Almighty is Brahma, who has got three heads, and on each head is a crown, you are giving an image to God Almighty, which the Muslims take strong exception to. You are going against the Ayurveda, chapter 32, verse number 3. Another beautiful attribute that the Hindus give for Almighty God is Vishnu. If you translate Vishnu into English, it means sustainer. It means cherisher. If you translate into Arabic, it means Rab. We Muslims have got no objection in calling Almighty God a Rab, or a sustainer or cherisher, or Vishnu. But if the Hindus say that Vishnu is Almighty God, traveling on a bed of snakes, and he has got four hands, you are giving an image to God Almighty. Now going against the Ayurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 8, which the Muslims take strong exception to. Therefore, we have to come to common terms. Your Vedas say God has got no form and he has got no body. Same Ayurveda. If you read, tells you that you should not worship the Asambhuti or the Sambhuti. Further, if you read the Rigveda, it's mentioned in book number 8, chapter number 1, verse number 1, Ma Chidanyadi Sankat, all praises are due to him alone. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Same Rigveda. Book number 6, chapter number 45, verse number 16 says, Ya Ik It Mushtihi, there is only one God, worship him alone. Qul Huwallahu Ahad. How do we come to common terms? Ta'ala ila kalmatin sawa'in bainana wa bainakum. Come to common terms as in us and you. This is the commonality that we prove from the Bible, from the Vedas, from the Quran. Come to common terms, read your scriptures and understand the concept of God Almighty correctly, then inshallah we all will be united. What is the definition of the word Jew? The actual meaning of the word Jew is one who praises God Almighty, one who loves God Almighty. By definition, I'm a Jew. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I praise him. But if you say Jew with a capital J is a citizen of Israel, then I'm not a Jew. What's the meaning of the word Christian? Christian means one who agrees with the teaching of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Alhamdulillah, I agree with the teaching of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. In that way, I'm a Christian. But if you say Christian is a person who worships Christ, peace be upon him, then I'm not a Christian. What's the meaning of the word Hindu? The word Hindu is a geographical definition. It means those people who live in the land of the Indus Valley civilization, those who live in India. I live in India, by definition I'm a Hindu. Swami Vivekananda said that Hindu is a geographical definition. Swami Vivekananda said it's a misnomer. The correct word should be Vedantist. Because Hindus follow the Vedas. Vedantist should be the right word. Hindu is a misnomer. But if you say Hindu is a person who rises and worships, then I'm not a Hindu. What's the meaning of the word Muslim? Muslim is a person who submits his will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I submit my will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am a Muslim. I would like to end my talk by quoting a verse of the Holy Quran from Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse number 125. It says, Ud'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah, wal mau'izati al hasana, wajadilum billati ya ahasan. Invite all to the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching, and argue with them, and reason with them in the ways that are best and most gracious. Wa akhru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.